Here shall we pray. Heavenly Father, again we want to thank you and praise you for the reality of the Scripture fulfilled in our day concerning your descent as head to the bride, the church, in the form of the Holy Spirit and the pillar of fire, the Lord himself descending from heaven with a message. We thank you for that message, Lord. And we know that the man that you used to be the voice of yourself at this time, Lord God, we have the words and we have the one himself here to lead us into the millennium, here to be the head of the church, the head of each one of us individually and all together, the head of the bride, to bring about a resurrection, and then, Lord, a great gathering to the marriage supper. We know that's in progress now. There's no doubt about it. And we're certain, Lord, with one who told us the truth, vindicated to you, that if we're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere. And by the grace of God, we don't want to stand in his way, but rather be friends and rejoice for that day, and then later on meet with you and them in the great time of the after millennium. Lord, help us to be serious and sober today and learn what it is to walk in that light as the prophet walked in it. We'll be careful to give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I believe this is number 16 of the Anointed Ones of the End Time. And the last study of this message produced the illustration of St. Martin, who was involved in a satanic visitation where Satan tried to deceive Martin into worshiping him. But when Satan was given the word of God, he disappeared and left Martin alone. Also, Brother Branham spoke of a young man at the time of St. Martin who was also deceived by Satan into thinking he was a great leader. But when he refused to appear before St. Martin to be tested, then his rank and authority that he thought he had by deception vanished from him, and his folly was manifested before all the people. These illustrations that Brother Branham used about St. Martin were to show the ability and authority of a prophet to dispel doubts and eliminate error and deception when it comes to the word of Almighty God, and of course the ways of God. The true elect will always reach for the revealed word. As eagles gather round the kill, so do the elect gather to the body word of the season. So with this in mind, we can start reading right away on page 49, paragraph 212, where he mentions the eagles. The eagles will go to the word that is in season, even as they went to Martin. And of course, Brother Branham's running in parallel with Martin, although Brother Martin was not a prophet of the order of Brother Branham. Remember always when Brother Branham speaks of himself, you must remember Moses Paul Branham, right? Moses Paul Branham. You don't go and say, well, Brother Branham Elisha. No, beg your pardon, Isaiah. You don't go and say Brother Branham Jeremiah. It is true that there is a relationship because God was in the prophets. But when it comes down to ordinary prophets, Brother, the word of the Lord said that in Numbers, that he said, I will appear in visions and in various ways and dreams. But he said, when it comes to Moses, it will not be so. I will speak to him face to face, even apparently. He will see me in some type of a form, and we will talk mouth to mouth, face to face. Now that is Moses and Paul and William Branham. People say, well, I don't think it's William Branham. You think what you want. As long as I'm preaching up here, that's the way it is. Say other. And I know you're not unhappy with it. Okay. So, he's talking then now and identifying himself in that respect. He also said, where the 212, where the carcass is, or the word, there in season, the eagles will be gathered. Now, always watch word in season, word in season. And that's true. The Bible speaks of that. Born in due season. The word. So there's word in season. Now, if you want to put that down, that's Matthew 24:28, just a little bit after Matthew 24:24, four verses below. See if you want to get it. Where the carcass is, the manna is, the word is, there the eagles will be gathered. In other words, if God has something to show his people, then certainly the people will come to it. See? 2:14, paragraph. Where the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered. Where the carcass? Where the killing is, there the eagles will be gathered. Now, the word killing, in my understanding here, would be fulfilled word. See, the fulfilled word brought into view. Where the fresh meat is, the word of the season, there the eagles will be gathered. Now, even your health authorities will tell you that it's very strange that people in the economy of God are adapted, perhaps not so much genetically as physiologically, to the area in which they are, so that you should always eat the vegetables and the fruits and the things that are in your area. They're good for you. So when you have winter time, of course, you have vegetables that you put in the fruit cellar and things like that. And then always remember when the people kept their hands off the Eskimos, they didn't have any heart trouble or cancer or anything else. They could eat whale blubber and eat meat raw or cooked any old way they wanted. They got along fine. Didn't have rotten teeth either. Now, a few could have been bald-headed, because that's nothing but a little genetic thing, you know, hereditary. When it came to health, you know, they had good health, commensurate, but white man goes in there and upsets the season, so to speak, upsets things if the fellows begin to get sick, and you know there's a problem. And the Bible also mentions, you know, God put a bound on the people. He arranged their borders. When people begin moving out of that, you have your mixing of your races, your colors, and all those things, you got a bad problem. So what I'm trying to show you here is that everything in nature points to seasons, and the people in the seasons. Like the light moved west. The light starts in the east and begins moving. What happens? The revivals of God move west and west and west until now they're at the western shore, and then they got to move east again. What's that? That'll be when Christ appears in Israel. Back to Israel. So everything has a season. Don't let the word be strange to you. Make it a part of your vocabulary. Make it a part of your rethinking, your repentance. Make it a really great word, as Brother Branham did in this message. So where the fresh meat is, that is, where the Word of God is being demonstrated for that season, the eagles will gather there. But after it's rotted, then the vultures will swarm. Now, there's something we might want to just take a look at here. He says, first of all, he said, but after it's rotted, it's gone rotten. In other words, the life leaves it, and the life moves on. Now, Brother Branham invariably used the understanding of the plant as well as the animal, because he had to. Remember, the Bible speaks of children of God as lambs. It speaks of the children of God as wheat. So you've got to take and use both of them. So he's using the thought here now in the animal. When the meat is rotten, you know, the lamb was killed, take, eat, this is my body. The Lamb of God, remember the type in Egypt, you got to eat it with the bitter herbs and go down the road. Okay, take, eat, this is my body. But also, Christ was a plant growing up out of tender ground. So we're looked at today as, we could say, in the sense of the animal or in the sense of the plant. Now, that'd be the same with the church. You see, we can see God kept up till the end time when he'd come into manifestation. And then we see him coming up like a plant coming into full maturity. So let's look at the plant a second. Now, Brother Brad said you plant the wheat, and he's got a little sprout coming up. That's life. Then it shoots up higher into the stalk. And you'll notice right away it begins to get yellow at the bottom. Now, the life is no longer there. The life is passing up. Now, it's a conduit to come up. Then later on it goes up to the place where you've got something begins to form at the top, and you've got the tassel in there, and you got the stamens, and then you got the chaff begins to form, and you, what you see every step, you'll see the setting brown. It gets brittle. It's not supple anymore. You know, the life is gone. So until finally the life is at the very top. So we're looking at this picture here after it's rotted. That means after the life has moved on, there's death sets in there. And whether you liken it to a piece of meat that stinks, and you can see the maggots and things, or whether you liken it to a piece of the plant that's dry now, you've got to recognize that as far as the truth is concerned, it is rotten. In other words, it is lifeless, and it is already in a process of decay. It's gone down. And the life will not go back to it anymore. It's over. So that's what you're looking at. And when he says here, the vultures, they go for what is rotten. The life has gone out of it, and they begin to swarm toward it. So, now, the life of the Word was released by God using a prophet in this end time message. So all that follows, it is too late. Now, that's something that
I know that people will be very unhappy with what Brother Branham brings up, stuff like this, material like this. They don't like that. Their idea is it's never too late. Are you kidding? You see, you believe Hebrews 6, or are you just sitting here as theoreticians? Now, we've got to nail things down, and I'm taking my time whether we get one page done or two pages. Makes no difference. Look, I can take one message and preach 300 sermons and die. And you got everything you need. Because the Lord will bring it to you. You can take one of Brother Brand's sermons. It doesn't matter. It's like I've always said, the Bible is like a pie. It's got a center. Now, you cut a pie right to the center, and you put wedges in. You don't go like this back and forth. And I don't care what subject you take. You'll invariably go straight to Christ, and whether you want to or not, you will cover every other subject. You can't help it. Because we're dealing with the spirit, a person. So I can take one message. Take my time. Now, people do not like to think it is too late. Now, the Bible warns you that there are a people who get worried and think it is too late when it is not. And always there are those who will say it is never too late, and it is. You just can't change it. Now, let's take a look at Hebrews 6 again and realize what it is saying here. There is going to come a time at a particular time called perfection. And that's where the church is moving to absolute finality. And the finality is what? Righteous, still, filthy, still. Holy, still, unholy, still. You're moving to a finality. You're moving to a time, and you farmers sitting here, some farmers here know it's the truth. There is nothing you can do to your crop or for your crop at a certain stage. It's over. It's gone. It's gone. You say, well, doesn't mean it's gone. I can still get 20 bushels bigger. That's true, but it's gone where you could have got 20 and a half. Or 21. Or 22. Gone. It's set. It's finished. This is as far as it's going to go. From then on, it's just got to dry out until the shuckers, that's the threshing rig, hits it. And splits all the chaff off. Yep. Now that's what it says. Perfection is finished. For it's impossible, in verse 4, for those who were once for all enlightened, having tasted the heavenly gift, absolutely saw, were partakers of the Holy Ghost, either by anointing or complete indwelling. Taste the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. Absolutely right in there. Having fallen away, to renew them again to repentance. There'll come a time, as Brother Branham said, in Jubilee. He said, I love my old master. I don't want to be free. You go to the jam, the door jam. It takes a little tiny awl, like women get their ears pierced with earrings. And then you know something? Once that's been jammed there, that needle in there, you can never leave your master. Your ears are closed. It's entirely all over. You say, well, I'd like to do this. I would like to do that. I think this. I think that. Now's time for change. Hogwash. It's over. It's over. Now, I know people here this morning, you're tender-hearted, and I'm very hard-hearted. I'm very mean, according to some preachers, because, you see, Lee Dale doesn't believe in love, and he shows it. The same man has a lot of women. That shows he's got a lot of love. He's alarmed the pit of hell, and he's going there. I got no use for the man. I'm not bitter to tell you flat. He's a liar. He doesn't know my heart, nor one thing about me. I neither seduce people with word or sex or anything else, and that's a fact. Y'all challenge any person living on that one. Not here to fool anybody. I got love for this word and respect for this word, brother, sister, and that's my light, as much as I know. And I'm telling you right today, it is only too possible. There could be a drying up period of 10, 20 years left. For all we know, not one more person came in or will come in. You say, what about the persons then that haven't... You know, we'll come in. I got hope for those who don't have too much religious background. Or their religious background wasn't worth a plug nickel in the first place. I have hardly any hope for Pentecostals. Because that's where the life went the last time. And they thought when they got recognized, they really had the world by the tail on a downhill pull. Spiritually speaking. And that's where they blew it. Because the minute you're accepted, that's the minute you know you ain't got it. Because we are to be judged the off-scouring of the earth. And if you ain't being scoured off by the world and shot off to one corner and scoured out by God, you ain't got nothing. It just happened. I'm sorry for you. But shows you're still up there milling around. Now, it doesn't mean people can't respect you and love you and things like that. But I'm telling you, pin it down to this. They cannot come after a certain time. So there's a cutting off period. And that's the thing you watch for. Now watch. After the cutting off period, people will try to come. Now how many people today are Lutherans? Millions and millions maybe, for all that. At least hundreds and hundreds of thousands. Could be well over a million. Must be over a million. How many were in Luther's day? Count them on your hands. What about Wesley's day? Millions of Methodists. How many Wesley's day? Count them on your hands just about. How many Pentecostals? They got millions too. What about back in 1906, 1920s to the 30s? Just miserable bunch of little people hanging around. Storefronts, whatever. I know I was one of them. Way back in the 30s. Life's gone on. See? Now that's when you watch when people start flocking for anything, the life is gone, it's dead. They're vultures eating carrion. If you don't believe that, let's go to Pentecost. Father O'Connor, a Roman Catholic, speaking in tongues, healing the sick, no doubt raising the dead, casting out devils. Fine man as far as men are concerned, but believes the Roman Catholic Church is infallible, prays to the Virgin Mary, honors the Pope. Now, come on, Pentecostals. That's exactly where Pentecost is. Don't try to kid me. Pentecost itself is torn up because of it. And there's nothing they can do because they stuck their necks out and said, well, we got the evidence. Everybody's got the evidence now. They were the cream of the crop. See? The life went out of them. Now, Brother Branham categorically said, when you see the denominations taking this message, you know it is all over. That means the life has gone out too. Then anybody, how's anybody going to take this message when the life is moving on? Where's the life going to move next? Into the resurrection. You still got a message at this point. But they're already fooling around with this message. You can hear right on the air people saying things that only Brother Branham said. It's already gone into perversion. So, we want to realize what he's saying here. That this message is the one message that has life. In fact, he said nothing outside of this message will come to life. What is he saying by that? This is the original that came up protected by God from the time of the apostles and the apostle Paul. That life that came through right at this hour and is now manifested. That it is the end season, the harvest time, it's all over. And he says nothing but this is going to come to life. It's a continuous bride. It's the same, it's the right message. It's what Paul preached. It's what Paul said, hey, there's got to come the Spirit of God in the church. That's going to bring about a resurrection. But before it does, it's going to bring about a revelation. God himself doing it. Ephesians 1:17. That's fulfilled today. This day is this scripture fulfilled. Brother Branham didn't preach it. I'll preach it for him. Just go and take his subject and go ahead and preach it. No problem. This day is this scripture fulfilled. Ephesians 1:17. He did take Luke 17:20-30. This day is this scripture fulfilled. He did take 1 Thessalonians 4:16. This day is this scripture fulfilled. Malachi 4:5-6. It is fulfilled. And with it, the judgments are coming on earth. All right. Then the vultures will swarm to it. They'll swarm to it. Sure they will. See? See what I mean? Look, if this world went on, do you know something? People would realize who Brother Branham was. And you know by that time, it's all over. Something else would have to come. But nothing else is going to come. It won't happen. See? Now, see what I mean? When a kill's made, here come the eagles. After it lies there and rots, then here come the vultures. They always come too late because the life is gone, you see. The eagles won't have anything to do with it. But with what? Vulture food. Well, we can't go back to Pentecost. We can go back to Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian. See, Jesus said where the carcass is, where the manna fell, the night the manna falls fresh. Now remember, it's at night always that God has to break light. He always has to do it. So it's the manna falls in the dark time. In this dark age of Laodicea, wretched, miserable, naked, and blind, God sends a prophet. There the eagles would gather for it. That's the manna for the day. This is evening time message. But I want to tell you something. And let's be very careful because he mentions manna. Now, what happened to manna? Now, get your thinking caps on. What happened to manna? He said, well, Brother Vail, I tell you one thing happened. It wouldn't keep. That's exactly right. It wouldn't keep. And then we find that those that gathered too much, they didn't have anything over. And those that gathered very little, they had plenty. Like Brother Brown said, he gets this far in the message and make it and that far and not make it. Which means an understanding only. If you were that far in it, you're all the better in, of course. All right? What else about it? What's the big thing about it? Oh, this manna we loathe. Same old thing. Same old thing. 80 to 90% of William Branham preaching was the prophet in God. Hardly 20% doctrine. Hardly 20% conduct. Hardly 20% anything. The constant reiteration as I'm doing now. Prophet in God. God and prophet. How God does things. What's going on in this hour? It got dull. It got insipid. See? The cares of this world. You know, you got to watch it, brother, sister. You're not superhuman in the sense that you're out of your body in a new body. You're superhuman in the sense you're born again. And your eagles are going to be in the resurrection and get out of here maybe before they not even have to take part in the resurrection. You're all young enough for that. That could happen anytime now, within the next year or anything. Just things could work very fast. But there's a big warning here. They said, this manna, I don't think we like. Let's go back where it's spicier. Oh, the leeks and the onions and the garlic. And the hot peppers. And the chili con carnes. And the curries. Let's go back to Egypt, where they've got the tongues and the interpretation and the prophecy and the emotions and the dancings and all those things. You just have a great time in a spiritual bust. This is too dead. Oh, I've been criticized for being dead. Where's the hand slapping? And where's everything in your church leave ale? I want you people so attentive that you're jumping and dancing and jiving inside. I don't care about your outsides. Hogwash. I know preachers and I know people. Oh, they look so good and commit adultery, everything else, and poor deals. Fact. Don't sell anything to me outside a word, brother, sister, that's going to transform our bodies because it's transformed our minds. I don't mind clapping and shouting. That's great. I don't care. You do it if you want to. But I'd prefer you to sit and listen, providing I've got something to say. When I haven't got something to say, then you yell and outshout me, praise the Lord. I can see that in some churches. I'd outshout the preacher, too, for all he's got to say at times. See? Where the eagles are gathered, the fresh kill, the fresh manna. That's the manna for the day. All right, 2:15, notice, after it gets rotten, maggots get in it. Then here come the vultures. They can smell it. They can't smell it till it gets rotten. They go by their senses. See? No wonder Jesus went up and said, Jerusalem, you that stoned every prophet. Notice that personal pronoun. See, Jerusalem, how I would have gathered you. Who was he? How often would I have gathered you? The hen gathers as a hen would her brood. And you stoned every prophet I ever sent you. Now that, of course, is God in the prophets, bringing the people to God. Now, notice here how some people have gone. As I said a minute ago, they've gone back to Pentecost. Then again, there are those who never did leave Pentecost, never did leave the Methodist. You know, I'm not fussing just at Pentecost. I know people that didn't leave their Methodist church. No. Brother Branham hadn't died. The Church Age book just written, and Methodist background would say, hey, that Lee Veil didn't say what Brother Branham said. I said exactly what he said. They didn't know what he said. They're still Methodists. Now I'm going to tell you something. I think they still are. I think they still are. There's those who got critical because I didn't make it Pentecostal. And they're still Pentecostal. They're still Baptist. You got to lead that stuff. How would you like to sit down and eat a chicken full of salmonella? Well, go ahead and die. You want to die with cramps? The Great Tribulation? You'll get it. That's your business. Eat it. I don't want it. I want mine tried with fire, with fire, with fire, with fire, and then more fire. Because that's a pillar of fire. Then I'll start eating the food. What God sets on the table. They just haven't come out. Now, 2:16, that great church Jerusalem, the Jerusalem which is not here on earth, but we are of the Jerusalem above, where the word came from predestination, see? Not old Jerusalem that perishes, the new Jerusalem that can't perish, not old Jerusalem built by man, a denominational organization, but the new Jerusalem built by God, see? And the word up there being now being made manifest, what word being manifest now in new Jerusalem above us? In my Father's house are many mansions, streets of gold, all those things are going on now. So there's a promise being fulfilled in heaven right now. Well, there's a word being fulfilled on earth. Now, Brother Branham talks of the old and new Jerusalem. That's why we're going to take our time this morning. I can't get off the ground this morning, so let's forget it. We go to the book of Galatians, chapter 4, to read about this old and new Jerusalem. And we start reading at verse 19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you now and change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Now, Paul said, look, he said, I want Christ to be formed in you. I want to see that you are really born again people. I want to see that. And he said, I want to come and visit you. And actually, I want to be able to talk to you different from you than this letter here, because I'm wondering what's going on with you fellas anyway. Now, watch 21. Tell me, you that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? Now, watch. It's written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. That's Sarah and Hagar. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by bondmaid, that's Hagar, the free woman by Sarah. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. Absolutely pure and simple sexual intercourse by human desire. She could have a baby, and he could be the one that started the baby, be getting the baby. No problem at all. Sarah was not that way. She's completely barren. No way could she have a child. So she had to have a word of God to make it possible that she could have a child. And a word of God came, so therefore, Isaac is born of promise, not of sex, although that was involved. See? Now that shows you, too, that the word of God, being real, predestination, stands above everything in the world. People say, well, I don't know how in the world it was that child was born. I cannot see predestination. Then you can't see this either. God knew all about Hagar going to have a baby. God knew all about everything. How can you doubt God in this line if you really believe a prophet? Or is it just some little glib thing the prophet said? God knew every flea and how many times it bat its eyeballs. Or every gnat. How many take to make a pound of tallow? How many yards? Which things are an allegory? These are two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth the bondage, which is Hagar. And this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answers to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. No liberty, not born again, nothing. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all, or which is our mother, is what it should be said. Now, because it's not the mother of all, because down here it says she's the mother over here, too. So how can New Jerusalem be the mother of all, if there's a woman over here that's mother of some others? Our mother. Paul speaking of the bride. For it's written, rejoice thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. And we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Now he's telling you right here, there's a whole lot more people born to physical Jerusalem than there are to spiritual. There'll be millions more in the world church than in the true church. There'll be not many bride, but there'll be a whole lot of others. And we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Now we know that we are. They were not, but they were in the records. They were foreknown, foreordained. It was spoken of them. It was spoken of them, and they are here. But we were in the mind of God and a part of God, just like New Jerusalem is the entire building of God. This down here is the building of man. This down here is what man does with what man has, even though God gave it. The other is what God does with what God has, and he gives it. It's an entirely spiritual concept. It's 100% different. People look around and they say, well, I look at you people here in this church and you really ain't got nothing alongside of those people out here. Well, go ahead and talk all you want. I got no problem there. They're going to say it anyway. Nobody ever said we had anything in ourselves. I bet Isaac could throw just as big a squall as Ishmael could. I bet he could run just about as fast in trouble as Ishmael could. Kids are kids. When he grew up in Christ, a different story, of course. You just can't look at the flesh, only to a certain degree. And I don't mean that we run hog wild or anything. I mean, people just say, well, you don't have the fine perception we have because we got this and we got that. Well, you prove it. Where is yours coming from? See, you got to always watch that. You can, but the potter takes a one lump of clay. You know, you could actually have identical twins and one be a devil and one be a saint. There's one born again, one never make it. In other words, they could look identical alike. He takes one lump. Everything lies in election. Nevertheless, what does the scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we're not the children of the bond, but of the free. Now, what's he trying to say here? You had better cleave to the word of God as your one authority. Because Paul said, I stand in doubt. What's he standing in doubt of? What he taught them. Didn't he say the Galatian church, if anybody comes and takes a word or adds a word, they're the devil? He said, I can't even come back and change this. Do you know that's true? Remember, Isaac loved Esau. And he said, I'm going to bless him. Poor old mother, you know, Rebecca, she's a little bit messed up in her thinking. So she said, well, I'm going to make sure that Jacob gets it. Esau, he ain't worth it anyway. I know his dad loves him, but he just hasn't got it. She recognized it. Nice girl, but she did it wrong. She said, now put this calfskin on here and, you know, pretend you're the other guy. Man, he must have been hairy. Anyway, they took a part of the calfskin anyway. And so he said, well, he said, now this must be my son. He said, it's the hand of Esau, but the voice of Jacob. He said, but anyway, he said, maybe Esau's voice has changed. He said, maybe they're getting to sound alike. So he blessed him. And then it was over. He said, I cannot take the blessing back. You understand what I'm saying? What kind of a deal is this? It's a kind of a deal, if God ever spoke to a person, it could be a doorknob, right? It could be anything. It couldn't change. And Paul said, look, it can't change. You're fooling with what I have taught you. See? And he said, you are companions of Christ if you keep in mind what I've taught you. See, it's a mind is everything. Here's your trouble right here. Get it renewed. Throw out your Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal thing. You say, what is the prophet saying? He can't be saying what I already know. Now, you ought to watch that statement. Because you could know it and know it wrong. Oh, yeah. So therefore, when I use the sense of true knowledge, he's saying something you and I don't know from the standpoint of a true knowledge. We know about it. We know it's there. We know something's out here. But you really know it. Now, these are your two Jerusalems right here. Now, we don't belong to the one that has a thing to do with man. We have the one that has to do with God alone that starts way beyond the time, as the joke said, you were even a gleam in your father's eye. Or your grandfather, or your great-grandfather, or your great-great-great-great-great-great-great. Because you're going to go back 6,000 years to Adam. And then from Adam, you go right back to God. See, and God did a special thing when he took that spirit man and put him in a physical body, then breathed in him to bring into manifestation and movement what God had in his mind in a thought pattern. Starting with a little cell of God. That's the bride. You have to be of God and from God and to God, or you're not in it. And there's just one test, is word test. That's what people don't want. Now, I know there's other things there, too. I realize that. But the devil can imitate and take you to the cleaners on every single point but the word. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because that's what Brother Branham fought over in this message. To get people to understand that. You can go out here and you can see, he said, Christian size will prove 10 times more love and snow. Put us under the table with it. But they're off the word. Mary Baker Eddy said, there's no more efficacy in the blood of Jesus Christ than the blood of a rooster. Take that. That great church, Jerusalem. And it's being built, fabricated right now. 2:17. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have, from the beginning of time, not a third person, somebody else, but I, God himself, would have hovered you, hovered over you, shadowed you, as a hen did her brood, but you would not. Now, in this last hour of hovering, what's going on? Immortality. The Son of Righteousness has arisen with immortality. As I've said on more than one occasion, I do not have a promise to die, though I might like to die, and I might well die. Now, you younger people do not have a promise to die. You got a promise to live. The word concerning you is no longer, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment, that is not your portion any longer. It is appointed unto you, some of you, to live and not die, and you're just as good as sitting in the white throne now. You have a thought, you have a bit of problem. Now you can take your pick which way you want to go. Now, so, well, how is that? You believe the word of God, God will back up his word. If that word's in you, then God backs up his word in you. Not in somebody else. Look, God's got to always back up his word in people. Look, he said before there was a fish with the fin, there had to be water to put the fish in. Now, it wasn't the water, it was the fish. So God made everything propitious. So therefore, New Jerusalem you're going to walk on is not it, it's you. And he wants something good for you to walk on. Like he wanted the fish to have a good swim. And he wants you to have a good city. He wants you to have good food. Everything is for you. And everything that man mucked up, God restores right back. So man can have it the way God wanted it. See? Let's understand that. Now he said, Jerusalem, I've always tried to get you lined up and ironed out. Just like, and I've tried to protect you and help you from danger, as a hen would help her chickens, but you wouldn't do it. Now your hour is come. It was too late. He couldn't turn the clock back. Now there were a few dribbling in. But the die was cast. Jerusalem had to go, and it went. Los Angeles has to go, and it's going to. The Russians have a bomb for America. Why do you think Brother Branham mentioned it's going to hit Jeffersonville? Because the DuPont plant? No, I believe that was his excuse. Because Brother Branham was there. Why do you think it's going to hit Houston? Because Nassau's there. The Pillar of Fire was pictured there. America's got its bombs. It's going to be hit. The Vatican's going to hit the same time. They're worried about these short-range missiles. Don't worry about that. I think it's a good thing to pull them out of Europe. Who gives a rip? They got bombs down here in Cuba. You know, Ortiz and those guys down in there, they're just a bunch of reds. America's hour has come. He said, I don't pray for America. Why should he pray for America? Moses didn't have a prayer meeting for Pharaoh. Why should he have a prayer meeting for America? God said otherwise. People blaspheming the Holy Ghost. How are you going to get them out of it? They're gone. John says, there is a sin I do not say you pray for. Oh God, I got a great tender heart. I'm going to pray for this blasphemer. Go ahead. Your great tender heart, you show you got a stupider skull. You're trying to tell God what he's supposed to do. Listen to your prayer. When did God ever listen to your prayer? God listened to his own word. I'm going to tell you, if you ever get to the place where God listens to your prayer, you're in terribly dangerous ground. You better make sure it's God's word. You bet, because Brother Brand said, you don't go to God to change his mind. You go to God to have your mind changed. And prayer is giving back to God what his word says under the circumstance, under the conditions. It's good to get God to line us up before we get all this praying going. I'm for prayer, but it's mostly to line our souls up before God, as I've said on different occasions. Now he says here, I whatever, where, but he said, your hour's come. It's all over. Where the carcass is, the eagles will gather. But after the carcass is rotten, then the buzzards gather. Okay? What gathered to Pentecost today? Lutherans, Methodists, Catholics, they all did, Baptists. Sure, we got a church over here in DeGraff. He got a Pentecostal Baptist church. He got a full gospel Baptist, but they made him take that down. Now it's a faith Baptist or something. Could he have more faith in Baptist or Pentecostal? I don't matter to me what he's got. I think he's a very nice brother. I wouldn't fault him. It's just, you know, everybody's coming to Pentecost. You listen, you know what that means, brother, sister? It means that their forefathers that called Pentecostals of the devil have blasphemed the Holy Ghost. And their churches are dead, dead, dead. You talk about making love to a corpse like Brother Brand saw the Nazarene church. Baptist, same deal. They're all out there having blasphemy. You don't tell tongues of the devil and those things and think you get away with that. They're dead out there, as far as I can see. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but I believe they're dead. Nothing outside this message on the life. Notice, 2:18, Moses never gave the children of God carrion. Moses was an eagle. He never gave the children of God Noah's leftovers. He had the fresh word of God. And then he said, the Lord got me in wilderness and confirmed his word and sent me down here to call you up. Now, you know, Brother Branham tells Moses' testimony here. Moses said, I met God down there, and you know what? He told me this. All right, you go back today to the great divine healers, of which we see today tragic conditions. Well, you see Tommy Osborne going around like a hippie with long hair and looking absolutely ridiculous. And Oral Roberts hostage to God for $8.5 million. Another man on a sex deal that cost him everything he had because he got millions sold away. And the girl got paid $265,000. And this goes on and on until the... Listen. You talk about what Ezekiel saw when you open up the filth in the temple. This is the worst. Wretched, miserable, rotten age. You see all this going on. Now listen, Alan dying an alcoholic. And I'm sorry for these people. I wish it hadn't been that way. But it is that way. Everyone will tell you a great story of how God they met God and they've got the word for you. Everyone. Alan will tell you about his fasting in the closet. Osborne tell you what he heard from God. W.B. Grant Jr. tell you how Brother Branham came in a vision. Even women are called, at least they believe they are. And they'll tell you great things. Oh yes, God called me. They all got something to tell you, but they're wrong. Oh, he sent me down here. Then came the impersonators, and these are impersonators after Brother Branham, after Moses and different ones. See? But Moses had the word of the hour. Why did he have it? Because God had already told Abraham 400 years ago, the one who had the promise, that's Abraham. And God said to Abraham, your seed shall sojourn in a strange land 400 years, but I'll visit them and take them up with a mighty hand. Now you notice that this man Moses recognized himself in the scripture by the visitation of Almighty God. I want to ask you a question. Did John the Baptist? Sure he did. Well, William Branham? Certainly. Providing he was that man. Certainly. He wouldn't have to be there in name. He'd be there, period. Where do you find Moses' name there? You don't find Moses' name there. You find the word of God that says, I'm going to, with a high hand and a strong hand, take him out. And so the hand of God was Moses at that time. He was the manifested one. Sure he was. These people that are of God are vindicated by God, but these others vindicate themselves by a self-interpretation. That's all. Just like, and they go a long way, like Korah, Dathan, and Byram, Jannes and Jambres, and Balaam. 219, Moses said, now the Lord will speak to me and show me, and when he has told me what I'm to do, I'll tell you. Now that's always the way it is. Never changes. He said, I am sent me. I am not I was, or will be, I am, present tense, the word now. Now, why does he say that? He says it because he wants the people to know what God is doing now. He did before in a figure, but this is the new hour and message for what is going on now. Now, look, you know as well as I do that every church wants a revival, and they're never going to get it. There never was and never will be any revived church. The Lutherans cannot come back. The Methodists cannot come back. The Baptists cannot come back. It'll never come back. Pentecost came right on and showed the whole bunch they had little or nothing. Now, Pentecost cannot come back either. They'll try all they want. They'll have all of this, but it still won't work because God's doing this. He's taking a people out for his name. Now, he said here, he is the I am, not the I was. What he's trying to show us here is Hebrews 13 and 8. That is the present God for the present hour, doing that which is in this hour that is supposed to be done. Now he said, I am is the word. He said, not some word that will come, but a word that is now. I am is the word. In other words, the Logos. In the beginning was the word is with God. Is that right? I am. God sent me as his prophet to vindicate this to be true. That's Moses. I am the answer to this word. In other words, I am is fulfilling his own word. The I am, the as this word told me to come down here and told me to do this. In other words, what is going on now is for this hour. Now look, everybody that knows anything about the scripture knows this hour is to come. There's no doubt about it, but they don't know what will come in it and how it's going to come to this fact of the detail. They know basically that something is there. The same one today who had come up through all seven ages is here in complete manifestation showing that he is the God of this hour. Pentecost is already historical. Whether Pentecost, if you want to believe it or not, it is true. One day we are going to be also if the Lord tarries, which I don't believe he will. All right, now verse chapter, paragraph 220. And when he did it, Pharaoh said, that is when Moses came down and said, look, I am told me to bring the people out. He said, well, we got plenty of boys in our group that can do that too, impersonators. Jesus said, now that's going to repeat in the last day, see? Claiming the same thing. Watch who came down first. Watch who stayed with the word. That's how it's known. All right? History proves at all times, and there's no doubt, that as soon as God brings a revival, as soon as God gives a new age and a new message, something begins to happen, always those in the old organization come right behind and say, we got the same thing too. And they try to destroy it. Now, I'm no fan of women preachers, but I do know that Woodward Edder was a famous Pentecostal woman preacher. She was terribly crippled with one of her legs. It was all drawn up under. And she began preaching, by his stripes I'm healed, by his stripes I'm healed. I have been healed, I have been healed. And the people were sneering. They say, well, if that's the case, Mrs. Edder, how come that leg? She said, that, sir, is the devil's lie. I am healed. One day they're doing like that, straight out. Well, she got anointed to preach. That's not Bible. But anyway, she began stumping around America. She got out as far as Utah, Salt Lake City. And evidently she got a revival going amongst the Mormons. And she preached the presence of the Lord, you know, the baptism, the Holy Ghost, that style. And those things, and God to heal. And a lot of people began getting, you know, a message across of some description to them. And they began pulling away from the Mormon church by speaking in tongues and doing a lot of things. And the Mormons were very shrewd. They came right behind and they said, now hold it, you people. Hey, what you're doing is in the Bible. We've got no problem. So stick around. Die just like that. The Mormons still believe in speaking in tongues and prophecy. They've had it in their churches. I know a good friend of mine is dead now. And he said, we've had it. The elders sit right there. It's like a windsweeper, and they just suddenly stand prophesying. Well, that's Pentecost. No, that's Mormon church. It was the Mormon church that prophesied in the book of prophecy. It was over when William Branham, prophet of God, came on the scene. Not Pentecost. Not Baptist. So, well, I don't know. I can take that as true prophecy. Caiaphas prophesied 100%. Right with the word. Don't try to tell God anything, brother, sister. Listen to the word by a vindicated prophet. I'm not a vindicated teacher. I'm just telling you what he said. See? All right. They said, we got boys can do that too, impersonators. He said, watch how they come behind claiming the same thing. Watch who stayed with the word. How do you know who stayed with the word? the first man vindicated by God stays with the Word, because he's got it. He's got no choice. He's like Abraham. He can only say what God told him to say. See? Just like the prophets. Hey, prophesy something nice. He said, I will if God tells me to. Or don't you dare prophesy bad. I will if God tells me to. He said, well, man, we're going to skewer you. Well, he said, whereabouts? Didn't he say that? He had a sort of hopelessness about him. Looks like I'm going to get it this time. You know, Elijah was that way, Elisha. You know, he got it. You know, they were being so rough on poor little Elisha. You know, the people were so rotten, him so mean. So he got very nervous, and he couldn't hear from the Lord. He had somebody play a harp and make some nice music, like a guitar or something, to get quiet. He said, I still can't hear you, so I'm going to take off and run. You know, prophets had problems. They know they're going to get it either front or back or in the side. They don't care where you go, they're going to get it. They know that. So what can they do about it? There's something, just can't happen. God's bigger than man, see? Now, how many times did Brother Branham say this in all his messages, what he said right here? We've got somebody who can do that. Come right behind. Just time after time. 221. We notice Moses never gave them what was in Noah's time. We'll build an ark now, because that's the word. Now, what is he doing with this? He's illustrating again, look, the Bible continuously proves that God has a word for the season, and it's not some other season back in. Just understand that. So, every age has a message. You know Noah built an ark one day. No vouchers. He said, now, no, that's no good. The bride will not take that. Vultures are eating that thought, the Noah message would do in Moses' day. Won't do. No, no, this was a promised word. Now, again, you'll notice that Brother Branham, this constant referring to Noah's ark, was not preached in Noah's day, and Jesus didn't preach Moses, is something like the theologians would call a very foolish thing. But Brother Branham is trying to get his point across desperately, because people simply have a great job or a hard job to understand that. Why would God Almighty bring a prophet on the scene with a new message when anybody knows you don't need a message, you need Christ? Get them sinners saved. Get them sinners saved. Never mind this preaching, bless God, this idea of a message. Get them sinners saved. Watch them change their lives. No more booze, no more cigarettes, no more whoring around, no more marauding, no more drugs, no more this. Aha, you missed the point entirely. You bet. That's exactly what you and I want, Brother Sitcher. Let's face it. We are so desperate to get our change, we'd settle for that. Forget it. You'll go to hell with that in your mind. I hate myself the same as you hate yourself, let's face it. In the flesh there dwelleth no good thing. There's nothing that God will commend in you and me. You want to read it to you? Let me read over here in Romans. the fourth chapter. What shall we say then? That Abraham our father as pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. While I fed the poor, hallelujah, that's nice of you. While I've lifted up the sick and the fallen, hallelujah, that's nice of you. No problem. So you should. I want to tell you something. You can be a sinner just like the thief hanging at Calvary without a hope in the world, not having done one good thing in his entire life, just been a blasphemer and a rotten type of person. And you can get converted just like that. So when you put the whole thing together, you understand this. I don't care how much evil we've done, and I don't care how much good we've done. It all boils down to one thing. You need Jesus Christ as your Savior. But just watch this, brother, sister. Why don't they come to him? Because they won't come to the light. You can talk all you want. And I can talk all I want. And we'll end up in this one understanding here. The prophet is 100% right. If you go to Scripture, the way Scripture is written, and the way you see it, historically brought out here in the Word of Almighty God. Brother Branham had to keep telling us people, time after time after time, there is no leftovers. You burn it with fire. It is full of wiggletails. You don't put a new patch on an old garment. You take this message absolutely brand new or you haven't got it. That's why it's so good to see people come in from Catholicism or no background at all. people say, well, hey, like this kid that came with Roger, Brian. Well, I said, I don't know what people are fussing about. He said, I don't have a bit of trouble. I said, sure, because you were nothing from nowhere. He had it made. He was a complete nut, let's face it. That's wonderful. Love them complete nuts. But, oh, brother, these guys that are so inured with what they think they know or feel they know, and then come along, well, I don't believe this. It's just as, look, it, I've seen the people come to me. The preachers have say they believe this message and made a great name around the world. They fuss and they argue what Brother Branham said. Forget it. Got time to fuss and argue. The prophet's right. Let's look at this picture. Notice, 2:22. For this message he had from God. He had the genuine predestinated word of God for that hour. What's a predestinated word? The word that must be made visible and brought into manifestation. Neither did Jesus serve them Moses leftovers. Okay. There is no Pentecostal rehash, brother, sister, of oneness and Trinity. Brother Branham said they're all wrong. He said, you oneness are wrong, you Trinity are wrong. And he stood right between the two and told them the truth. On Godhead and water baptism. Now, he said Moses had the word for that hour, but Moses was a prophet. Here's God himself, see. Today, here's God, and here's Jesus, both the form, one the pillar of fire in this hour, one in flesh back there. There he was. Now, what is for this hour, Brother Sitcher? Let's go to the Word of God and find out. I'm going to quote you the theologians. If you don't believe me, be the big shots, because they're the big shots. Verse 17 of Ephesians 1. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. You may know what's the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory or the inheritance of the saints. They tell you categorically in every single theological treatise or treatment of this chapter that verse 17 is different from 13 and 14, which is the baptism with the Holy Ghost. They tell you this is something different. We don't know what it is, but it's going to come. Now, when's it going to come? It tells you just before the resurrection, just before the rapture. What is he going to do? He's going to give you a new revelation of himself. Then the old one's not good enough. Well, Brother Vail, here's what he's going to do. He's going to take my old revelation and doctor it. He's going to blow it plumb out of the ballpark. Won't work. Contamination won't work. Won't work. You can't take a lamb with blemish. Neither can you crucify the Son of God afresh in the Spirit with blemish. It's got to be a brand new revelation. Not that some of the revelation won't be correct. No, there's one God, but not in three persons. There's one God, but not Jesus only. There's one God, the great predestinator, but not as people taught it. You see, the cardinal doctrines you know are there, but they're wrong. And when they're wrong, and remember, he is the body of the Word, and he had to be blameless, then you can't find, brother, sister, one thought that's in him has blame or wrong in it. Well, you haven't got the lamb. You're shot. There's no blood. So this is a brand new, old revelation. In other words, the new message, absolutely, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a message to do this. He will come down and reveal himself. And the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. And you will know what is the earnest expectation of his calling. What he's on the scene for and the revelation's all about. And you will be into the riches of the glory of his inheritance of the saints. And at that time you will know resurrection power. And the rapture. Now that's a brand new message for this hour, brother, sister, that could not come at any other time. No leftovers. It's dead. The life has moved on. Let's read a little further. But just look at the vultures there in that organization. They were glutting over what? The dead manna. The rotted food. We know we got Moses. We don't have to have you. Now, let's look at the Lutherans and the Wesleyans. Lutherans said, we don't have to have you. Forget it. Methodists said, the Pentecost, we don't have to have you. Now, what if further light comes on the scene, as George R. Upton said when I was only 20 years of age, 21 the maximum. And he said, our fathers, and I think he's still living in Canada, by the way, real old man. What shape is he in? Spiritual. Because he said, we left organization when new light came, and our fathers did. We had better beware lest new light come and we don't receive it. George R. Upton, one of the biggest shots in Assemblies of God in Canada. And he uttered what is true for all Pentecostals. They knew back there. What if William Branham then really did bring light? Where are they today? Where is Caiaphas today? Where are they? Well, we got Moses. We don't need Jesus. What if people say today, we got Paul, hallelujah. Who needs anybody else? Then aren't you guys that believe Paul? Tell me this. What is this spirit spoken of here in verse 17 that your smart guys don't know a thing about? Explain Luke 17, 20 to 30. They don't understand that either. Give me a few more clues. Tell me what it is where the book gets sealed, then gets open. Tell me those things. I want to know them. I'm supposed to know them. Is this the last day or is it not? Prove it. Give me something to stand on. Because if you can't tell me here, but you say this is the hour, and I'm supposed to know, then I don't believe you told me back here. You see, the whole thing becomes a lie, brother, sister. As the brother Branham so correctly said, and he could be a doctor of divinity, and nobody could dispute this, the greatest lie in the world is 99% truth. One word off. See? Oh, if you didn't know, we knew Moses. We know Paul. Do you know Paul? Then tell me this. Well, I know John. Do you know John? Tell me what it means. Can't do it. But it's got to be for this hour. He said, if you'd known Moses, you'd have known me. Because Moses spoke of me. If you knew Paul, you could tell me what Ephesians 1:17 means. You'd have to. Even the devils knew that. They said, Paul, we know, and Jesus we know, but who are you, birds? The seven sons of Sceva, you know, try to cast out devils. So they said, we adjure you by Christ, which Paul preaches. The devil said, hey, we know Paul and we know Jesus. Who are you, birds? And beat the tar out of them. They fled screaming. He said, if you'd known Moses, you would have known me because Moses spoke to me. Oh my, see where the carcass is, eagles are gathered. Eagles, not anything else. The fresh kill of the word. The word that's raised up and fattened has been manifested. What's he talking? The Paschal lamb. Christ amongst us again by the Holy Spirit. And given out as food for the children. Not of the old carcasses laid there hundreds of years. There it'll be. Say now, Luther had a message of repentance. But you bunch of Lutheran buzzers. You think that's the truth? I got Luther's books right in the library here. You want to read them? Fantastic. Show me Luther and believes it. Show me who believes what Wesley preached. He didn't preach too much. He had more salvation than anything else, like fantasy. Baptists had a message, but you Baptist buzzards. Pentecost had a message. Coming home right to the end of the trail. Pentecostal buzzards. But where the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered. We're going to close now because time goes very fast between now and the baptismal service. So we'll start here. Taking our time, we've got some very nice material coming up. On this, what's further here. We're going to go into the book of Revelation before too long. And see just what's going on, brothers and sisters, later than we think. If William Branham was right, and he was vindicated to be right. We are in the midst of a dying people. That's right. As the prophet said, atomic bomb fodder. It's not a pleasant thought. I don't relish it. Not at all. The only thing I have any faith in at all in this hour is this word, that I believe it right. I don't have faith in anything else. Because that alone, to me, is the faith of God that is required for my salvation. I don't have anything else. You know, there was a time we sang, "Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling, rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee." I don't think that's a very accurate estimation anymore. The "nothing in our hands we bring, simply to the cross we cling," in our hearts, in our minds, in our soul, there is a word of faith that has been demonstrated to be the true revealed word of God, by God himself through his ordained channels, that make us to know we are a part of that life that John said we've handled. And I want you to see it and fellowship it on the same basis of the same reality. And that's here today, brother, sister. If the revelation of Paul, now listen carefully, if the revelation of the apostle Paul was greater than any of the other 11 apostles who literally slept and ate with him and had fellowship in the flesh, then I want to tell you this, our fellowship and our handling of this word today is greater than John's. You might want to doubt that. You may have reason to doubt. But I'm putting it in a special light. In a very special light, brother, sister. Because John only saw in Revelation what we're into. It was all a prophet coming with him in visions. But this is today. We're way down the road, brother, sister. What John and Paul rejoiced to see, we are seeing it. And we're going to get out of here pretty soon. Don't let the manna that comes here become insipid to you, boring. Don't look for some emotion. That's fine if you want it. That's good. But it's not going to take the place of reality, because I don't know one place in Scripture where God jumped up and down and screamed until he got it light. Or he jumped up and down and screamed and got so happy he simply had to make a way. God being God, all planned out. Carefully, meticulously, he said, "Let it be, let it be, let it be." And the prophet stood in the last great sermon of doctrine, rapture, and he said, "Thus it has been spoken, thus it will be," three times. Brother, sister, listen. Abraham looked pretty bad in Sarah before they could conceive. But I want to tell you, they were just as good as parents 25 years before the day they were. They were just as much parents. I want us to see ourselves today delivered as never before. Let's rise and be dismissed. Gracious Heavenly Father, again as we go now at this time, taking our time studying, carefully looking at your word, Lord, we just pray, O God, that by grace this morning it's been nailed down in our hearts so hard, with big long nails, Lord, clenched over, hammered down, that it'll never leave, O God. But Lord, we know that as the chemicals that go into our body called food become flesh, let this word, O God, that we know is flesh and spirit, become absolute spirit in our flesh, so that we are the temples of the living word manifested, O God. Whatever way you want it, we're willing and happy for that. Lord, just let us be the temples. Not one of us missing, Lord, but all of us sharing. Heal the sick amongst us, we pray, O God. Be with us now, Lord, as we go have a little lunch and come together again, Lord, whatever it is, for the water baptism, which we're so happy to see. May your name be glorified, and may this, Lord, not just be a new day of an eternal number of days for the two candidates, Lord, to be baptized, but, O God, may it be for each one of us a deeper depth and a higher height as we progress and go on with you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.